When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website and bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And hey, by the way, did you know you can find us on Facebook these days, Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and please check it out and give us a like and check in often, because I'm posting all the good news about animals and everything I think you ought to know about, and even the funny, entertaining stuff too, on the Martha Norwalk's Animal World Facebook page. So, like to see you there. All right, it is Vet Sunday. Dr. Doug Yearout is in the house from All Animals Alternative Medicine Clinic in Marysville. And in case you want to know how to get a hold of Dr. Doug, it's All Animals Alternative Medicine Clinic. He's on State Avenue in Marysville. And the phone number is 360-653-8171. 360-653-8171. And do you refer people to your website often? Do you want?
Yes.
Okay, and that's what holisticanimaldoc.com.
Yeah.
Holisticanimaldoc.com. I can't remember how recently I looked at that, but the last time I looked, it had the Lake Stevens address on it.
I had that changed.
Did you change that up?
Yeah.
Okay. So, because it's got the correct, you're on State Avenue in
Marysville
now. Yeah, absolutely. And easy place, right off the freeway, easy place to find. And let us get back to the phones. We're going back down to Bend, Oregon, and Christine is on the phone, and we're talking about the rescue work she does at the Equine Outreach facility and the rescue donkeys. And Louise the donkey is who we're talking about, related to Cushing's disease. Christine, welcome back to Animal World.
Yeah.
Okay, now you were explaining to us that Louise the donkey has Cushing's. So
So
let's find out from Dr. Doug, what is Cushing's disease?
Okay, well, Cushing's is the name of the fellow that Dr. Cushing, anyway, but if you look at how the body produces hormones, you've got adrenal glands back by your kidneys, and that produces a lot of different things, but one of them is your cortisone, so-called cortisone, steroids. And then,
because a lot of people think cortisone's bad, but it is a natural hormone in our body,
Yeah, we have to have cortisone, or we'd all go down the hill. But so if you have a natural something that elevates the production of cortisone in your body, that's one way to have Cushing's. That's just having too much cortisone.
Is that what Cushing's is? Too much cortisone?
That's one way.
Okay.
Yeah. And it just comes right out of the adrenal glands, goes right into the bloodstream, and you suffer from all the different side effects, which one of them is, you know, hair loss or hair problems. And when you have an increase in all the hormones are all the glands are related to each other. They have these feedback loops, and there's like a big telephone line connection from this guy to that guy to that. They'll tell you, make more, make less, you know, do this, do that. But so if one of the things that happens with Cushing's, when the cortisone goes up in your bloodstream, it also depresses the thyroid gland, tells the thyroid not to make so much. So your thyroid hormones levels go down, and you start suffering all the different things that you have with a hypothyroid or a low thyroid.
Gotcha.
And another way of having Cushing's, and it seems to happen in different species, but the gland in the brain, the pituitary gland. That's one of the master glands. They have releasing hormones that they call up the adrenal gland and tell them, make more cortisone or make less cortisone. And that's a feedback. It's called a negative and a positive feedback. You know, if you got too much, then the feedback becomes negative and then everybody stays in balance.
Gotcha.
But if the pituitary gland's just kind of running amok and doing its own thing all the time, then you're making more cortisone, but it's not your adrenal gland's fault. It's just getting too many more messages from the pituitary gland in the brain. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's two kinds of Cushing's. There's the brain-dependent Cushing's and the adrenal gland-dependent Cushing's.
Oh,
but they both do the same thing by increasing cortisone.
And is Cushing's like the same in a horse suit or a cat suit or a dog suit? Is it all the same?
It's all the same, yes, but it depends on which part is happening. Is it the brain-dependent form or is it just your adrenal gland? In horses, it seems to be more adrenal gland-based, not so much brain-based. Like in dogs, there's a lot more brain-based.
How do you know the difference?
You can do tests.
You
can do tests and detect what's happening with the amount of the hormone. You measure them. But Christine, opened up a really big issue with Cushing's in horses. It's sort of an artificial disease. It's a disease brought about by our management, our food management, our exercise management, our too many vaccines. Horses get thrown through the ring, and especially in the neighborhood of nutrition. So
Christine sounds like she's on the right track then.
Back in the old days, you had to have this and you had to have that, but what you normally would have to have to get well would be fresh air and good clean food and exercise and all that kind of stuff, you know, that we've always, we forgot about it now. But the horse is getting out there, getting some really good exercise and then getting the proper kind of diet. You know, donkeys are not supposed to eat that kind of thing. They came from really marginal habitat.
Well, that's what Christine was saying, that you take the desert habitat is natural for donkeys.
Yes, it is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How come I don't know that? See, even I learn something on Animal World all the time.
Don't listen to the donkeys talk to you.
Well, I haven't talked to many donkeys, and you know, I was only talking. All we talked to Larry about was a halter. So, I didn't realize. So natural environment for donkeys is a desert type environment.
Yeah,
huh?
It's called called the steppe. STEPPE.
Yeah, the steppe.
Yeah, which is like it is in Oregon. You got your high mountain desert, and that's pretty much normal donkey territory. So,
well, how cool is that?
Yeah,
all
very
right.
Cool.
So you feel, Christine, definitely that you're taking Louise for walks and out into the desert area and letting her eat the desert plants, as you were talking about.
Yeah, I let her decide what is good for her. And usually I'll grab a handful of what she has just pulled out and chewed on, and I'll take it back to Larry. I used to.
Uh-huh.
Now that Larry is getting the halter on, and Joan has opened up what used to be the thoroughbred field. She has moved the thoroughbreds to another field and now has opened that entire, that's a huge area. She's letting horses out there and the donkeys.
Oh, yay.
So that there's a lot of desert plants and all this and that in this big, huge field, and I let the donkeys out there.
Cool.
And so now even Larry is picking his own food.
Do you know the names of some of the plants at all that you're feeding them?
No. In fact, I've gotten books on weeds. I'm trying to find what the heck they are. And you know what? They're not in the doggone books.
Take some pictures and send them to me. That's one of my areas of interest. I used to be a range habitat biologist. So
a range habitat biologist?
Yeah.
Well, how cool is that?
Yeah.
All right, so you want Christine to take photographs of the plants,
pictures.
And then she could email you those?
Yeah.
And can she email you through the website?
She can,
there's
an email address right on there.
So yeah. Holistic with an H, holisticanimaldoc.com, and there's a content link there. And, of course, if you don't come up with it, Christine, you just call me off the air and I'll...
It's holisticanimaldoc@gmail.com, is that it?
holisticanimaldoc@gmail.com. That's easy. So
okay, holisticanimaldoc,
D-O-C. at...
Yeah, I was going to spell D-O-T.
Yeah, no. Doc, D-O-C, like accent doctor. Holistic right. Animal Doc at gmail.com.
Okay.
All right, so you're going to send pictures. So I can't remember what your question was.
Oh, I'm wondering if my belief that because she's now eating what she should be eating, what is natural for her chemistry, if that's curing her of the Cushing.
Oh, I would say
because
absolutely.
She didn't want it.
Absolutely
because
correct.
Because donkeys and horses, their biology is different, so not very many vets know what to give a donkey if they have Cushing's.
Well, the normal thing for an animal that's normal in its own wild habitat, you know, you've made the match. You've got the jackpot. It's all about food and exercise for a donkey, for sure.
Oh, yeah. They'll drag me around sometimes.
They're See, more that, like a wild why, animal.
And for anybody that's listening, that's why Dr. Doug is so popular, because he truly does treat all animals. Dogs, cats, any kind of, you know, pocket pets, exotics, reptiles, fish, wildlife, you name it. So if you're sitting out there thinking, oh, I don't call Vet Sunday because they only do dogs and cats, that's not true. Dr. Doug can talk to you about just about anything, so be sure you give us a call today. And now I'm wondering, with horses, or like with, you know, with Larry the donkey, is Cushing's diagnosed with a blood test?
Yes.
And if horses are treated, what do you treat them with?
Well, there's chemicals. There's chemicals like in dogs too, and we don't see Cushing's in cats so much. It's a dog and horse disease.
It's a dog and horse disease.
What two animals are managed the most in our medicine today?
Dogs and horses.
Dogs and horses. Okay.
Very
I rest my case.
Expensive medicines that are very expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
So is Larry as Louise on medication, Christine?
No.
Okay.
No, because vets don't know what to give them because their biology is so different.
Yeah. Well, the majority of horses that have Cushing's, they probably put my neck out on the chopping block. They probably don't need those so-called medications as much as the so-called Cushing's in dogs.
Uh-huh.
So it's more of a management issue in horses.
So meaning diet and all of that sort of exercise and stuff?
It's not just diet. They also, we do give them I think it's a powder.
Right, a supplement.
No, it's a pill. I'm sorry, it's a pill. We have to break it in half and try and talk one of the horses into taking the pill, and some days he'll take it, some days he won't. Yeah. He knows when it's in the apple. He knows when it's in the carrot.
Right.
He knows when it's in his grain.
Do you know what the pill is?
I don't work in the meds anymore, so I forgot
the
name.
They are getting a chemical then right now.
I don't know if he is anymore. Because he's getting older, they're feeding him more and more. They put him more on grain than hay.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't eat so much.
Well, that's
hay
Larry,
anymore.
You mean? But he's. I thought
no,
Louise.
No, this is a horse.
Oh,
this
horse.
This is a big, huge show horse.
Oh, so you got another one down there with Cushing's as well.
A horse. Yeah.
A horse.
Well,
okay.
There used to be about three with Cushing's, three horses.
So is Cushing's real common with horses, Doug?
Cushing's is very common in horses, and even more common than dogs. And don't ever forget about the vaccine conundrum.
Does that relate to Cushing's as well?
A huge amount.
Oh.
Huge amount. Horses are so over-vaccinated.
Well, let's tell us about that. Christine, is there a vaccine policy at the outreach? Do you guys vaccinate these horses a lot?
You know, that would be, I don't know what Joan's policy is, but she has like three different vets that she uses.
Well, let's find out. So, Dr. Doug, talk to us about vaccines and Cushing's and horses and all of that.
Well, if you stimulate the body with the vaccine, what is the first thing that happens is just your body increases the amount of cortisone. It's an inflammation process. You're fighting off. You're asking the body to fight something off. So that starts out that whole paradigm of what normally you would do to stimulate the immune system in the realm of antibody, usually antibody, not the cells, the cell-mediated T cells, but more like the antibody B cells. So from a vaccine. So That's exactly how the whole Cushing's thing starts in the first place, is usually from vaccines
over and over.
You know, they get them all the time. It's terrible. They go from here, they go from there. People are trading horses all the time, and they end up getting vaccinated over and over and over and over for things they shouldn't be vaccinated for. Yes, those diseases are out there, but, you know, it's the company line to get them vaccinated, so to speak, too much.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be the case in an animal rescue because, they would be real careful on spending money.
Right, but still,
it would be interesting for you to find out, though, because what would you recommend with, you know, like a donkey and a horse that have Cushing's?
Well, they can have titers just like dogs.
So test titers rather than vaccinating.
And what are you really getting exposed to?
Yeah.
You know, and how much susceptibility to that exposure? Those two things are never thought about.
Yeah. But it does sound, Christine, like you're doing good work getting them out to the desert and letting them eat the natural diet for them. It'd be real fun to see if Doug can identify the plants and stuff that they're
great
eating.
Because you could feel their happiness about, being out there.
It's like out there, oh, my God, real food. No, ice cream plants.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool. All right, so anything else going on you want to talk about?
No. I'm just happy about, it's so much pleasure being out there.
Oh, it sounds like things have really shifted.
Yeah, they have.
That's excellent. And so your dogs and cats and bird and everybody at home are okay?
Well, the only one that I worry about is the older one, Cleo. I think she's over 15 years old or something like that.
And which
she's a cat.
A cat, okay.
Yeah, she throws up a lot, but... Well, for me, it's a lot. When I step in it at night, it's a lot.
So, 15-year-old cat throws up a lot.
How often does she? That was a redundant question. What's the time period between eating and throwing up? Anything like?
You can put your finger on. Always leave them dry food up on the counter where the dogs can't eat it.
Right.
So she eats when she wants to. Okay. She's slim.
Yeah, so
not skinny, slim.
Right.
But I see that more of her age.
There's more cats throw up with dry food than any other food. So you might be considering soaking the food or changing to a canned food with raw meat in it.
Oh, sounds like a light bulb's going on.
Some digestive enzymes, some probiotics, maybe some missing link or something of that nature. Cats sometimes don't like missing link, but.
No, they don't.
Something easier to, you know, the kind of missing link that cats like is actually the equine formula, the vegetable formula.
Well, you try the wellness blend.
Yeah.
Because that's the...
Wellness is a different brand, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, Christine, I got to make sure that I have a giveaway form here because if you don't mind holding on, we can have you hold on and give you the missing link this week.
Oh, cool.
And I have a... I don't think we want to get all your contact information.
If you get the vegetable formula,
we'll get
then
you the
can,
wellness
blend. Share it with the donkeys.
Yeah, absolutely. I do have one. So when we get
so
finished with your call, Christine, we're just going to put you on hold until Mike can get your address and phone number and stuff, okay?
Okay.
And we will do the wellness blend. That takes care of our giveaway. So that's great. All right, so you can test for us and see if the kitties like the wellness blend, because that's a vegetarian formula, very similar to the equine formula. All righty then, so we're good?
Yes.
Okay, so you hold on. Mike will get you when he can, and thanks for calling Animal World. All righty. Let's go ahead and take care of our advertisers and sponsors. I'll try to stay on time this hour. So stay right where you are. Vet Sunday with Dr. Doug Gearout continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Mm-hmm. Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Accutonics for Dogs and Cats and Accutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Accutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Made fresh each day for you. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all. Martha Norwalk, and we are midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And it is Vet Sunday. Dr. Doug Yearout from All Animals Alternative Medicine Clinic in Marysville is here. And he literally does treat all animals, pretty much anything in an animal suit he takes care of. And phone lines are open, and we will be taking phone calls for the rest of the show. So if you've got an animal medical care question of some kind, you can pick up your phone anytime and give us a call, local number 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. And toll free is 888-298-5569. Remember the 1-888-298-5569. And you can shoot us an email anytime to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. That's animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Now, we finished up a call with Christine from Bend, Oregon, and we're talking about the donkey and horse with Cushing's disease, Dr. Doug. And you said pretty much Cushing's disease is dog and horse disease, that cats don't get it all that much?
Anybody can get it, but it's not seen so much.
Okay. Yeah. And so is with dogs, is the treatment different or easier than with horses?
No, it's not any easier, and it's somewhat different, but not so much. There's an awful lot of pituitary gland brain actually problems with dogs, stimulating the adrenal gland to make cortisone. So that's the kind of one we see more often in dogs, is the brain form, where in horses it's more the adrenal form.
Okay.
Same end results, you know, water still goes out the pipe, but it's just the which gland is actually being busier, making cortisone all by itself or making cortisone because the brain tells it what to do.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Sometimes it's hard to get the relationship. If
Those of you that are calling in, I just want to let you know Mike left the studio for a moment and he's probably printing something out or whatever, but he can't answer the phone right at the moment. So that's why your lines are not being picked up. So just keep let it ring. If the call ends, call back again because he'll be picking up the phone shortly. So don't want you to think we're ignoring you on purpose. But by the way, that also gives me a chance to mention, you know, we'd love to have some backup call screeners in the Animal World family. So if you're interested in being a volunteer call screener for Animal World, check in with me. You can shoot me an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com or call my home office at 360-217-7258. We'd love to have you part of the family, and then we won't have to be without a call screener. So it sounds like now with dogs, you know, we've got the brain kind of Cushing's or the adrenal kind of Cushing's. Is one or the other more affected by diet and exercise and that sort of thing?
It's usually easier to affect the Cushing's that has to do with the adrenal gland more by itself.
Oh, okay.
When the brain gets involved, then, you know, the brain's got its own thing going on, so... You can impact both, but it's much more difficult.
Okay. Yeah. And what would be typical signs or symptoms of Cushing's in a dog?
Well, a lot of times they'll gain weight, but the weight gain is all fat weight. It's not muscle weight. Mm. Their muscles are actually smaller. Their belly gets big. Their liver gets swollen. The skin gets thinner, and they get this pot-bellied look like they're pregnant, but they're not. And it's just because the skin gets really thin and stretches, like a pregnancy. The hair coat, like she said before, gets all dry and flaky, and they can be itchy. They can drink a lot of water. They're frantic for drinking water. They're hungry all the time.
Okay.
They get tired, more tired. The joints break down. It just goes on downhill. It's just a whole bunch of different things.
So if that's describing, you know, so going on with your dog friend, that's needs to get into the vet and have a blood test, huh?
Yes.
And now I'm wondering if the treatment varies between, say, traditional veterinary medicine as opposed to holistic alternative veterinary medicine.
Traditional veterinary medicine uses the drugs to try to impact it just essentially stops the production of so much cortisone, and then you start to feel better because you don't have so much going on. You can also get diabetes from Cushing's, too. You know, too much cortisone makes your blood sugar go up, and then the next thing you know, you're diabetic as well. So it's all the glands get incriminated, the thyroid and the insulin-secreting pancreas and the brain, and it's a mess. The only thing that probably doesn't get as messed up is because dogs and cats don't usually have their testicles or their ovaries, so that those things don't get involved, but they would get involved otherwise.
Okay,
that's what you see in people a lot. So
So it's a human disease as well.
Oh yeah.
And I'm wondering now, is it because there's another disease that I think is similar, Addison's
is the opposite of Cushing's. You don't have enough
cortisone.
It's not so much a lack of cortisone as so much as it is. Yeah, there's other hormones that get produced by the adrenal gland, and one of them is aldosterone. It's one of the sodium retaining hormones that tells your body to keep your sodium. So you end up having all kinds of imbalances there, and you actually crash and go downhill rather than the other way around.
Interesting. All right, well, we've got another caller, and it looks like calling from your neck of the woods, Dr. Doug. We're going to Marysville, and we welcome Carol. Good morning, Carol. Welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Doug Earout.
Hi. Hey, I've got a question. How do you feel about feeding feral cats?
Feeding feral cats?
Yes.
Well, they have to eat too, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's not their fault. They got kicked out somewhere and ended up having to eat, but...
Exactly. Yeah, that was my feeling, but some people have told me that, no, that's not fair if I don't plan on, you know, keeping the cat.
Well, you know, you might be doing something temporary, like a Good Samaritan, if they're not going to get fed tomorrow, but I don't see that anything, human or animal, should starve, so it's not the starling's fault that we have a whole bunch of starlings that get fed at the feeders either, you know, but they're here now, so what do you do about it? You know, you You can do your feral program with cats, or you can do your get rid of a much bunch of starlings for the wild birds. I mean, it's a dilemma, but
yeah. Well, now, Carol, also, and Dr. Doug, especially in our area, we have great what we call TNR mm-hmm. programs, and what that's trap, neuter, and release.
Yeah, right.
So, Carol, often what people do, because there are so many feral colonies of cats around, often what people do is provide for them, feed them, and so forth. But then what you do is trap them, and then you can have them spayed and neutered for free. Well, you know, a lot of these rescues, like the Feral Cat Spay and Neuter Project, out of the Seattle area, and there are most of the shelters and rescues. Work with the TNR programs, and so they spay and neuter them, and then they put a little notch in their ear to indicate that the surgery's been done, so if they're ever trapped again, they know they don't have to go back in to be spayed and neutered again. But that way, they aren't continually reproducing and increasing the colony and creating more of a problem. They can live out their natural life without reproducing. So have you considered doing something like that?
Well, I would, but I don't have a car. I take the bus. So would somebody, that would like drop off a cage? And I live by Calcedo Creek, and so it's a perfect place for wild animals to hang out. And so sometimes to feed, you know, I put the food out there and it's the possums that get it.
Yeah, well, I'd say that, have you heard of the Feral Cat Spay and Neuter project?
No.
Well, okay, so it's a feral cat, and I know I've got current event stuff here for them, so I'm looking up here and say, oh, yes, their sexless soiree, their sixth annual benefit for the Feral Cat Spray and Neuter Clinics coming up in October. But let's see, okay, now, do you have internet access?
Yes.
Okay, then you want to go to the website, www.feralcatproject.org.
Okay.
Feralcatproject.org.
Okay.
Go there and check it out. And then if nothing else, I'm sure they have information. It's been a long time since I've looked at their website, but they've got to have information about, you know, TNR, you know, trap, neuter, release sort of thing. But if you don't find the information that you need on their website, then call them.
Okay.
And you know, you can tell them you called into Animal World and we were talking about it and mentioned this and you didn't know anything about it, but that you don't drive. But I'm sure that they'll be able to hook you up with someone.
Okay.
You know, who will come out. There are just so many great people around that, you know, will come out and do the trapping and bringing them back and forth. I know we can hook you up.
Okay.
So if you don't get what you need through that website, Carol, then you contact me, okay?
Okay.
And we'll make sure that these cats get cared for, because I think it's wonderful that you're feeding them, and I would encourage you to continue to care for them, but let's make sure that they aren't reproducing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
There's one that in particular that's hanging out at my house. I mean, I'll come home from work and he'll be sitting on the front porch. And I call it a he. My mom says, oh, it's probably a female looking for a place to have kittens. But it's a big cat, and it's got like the big head with the big jowls. It just looks like
an unneutered male, don't you think, Dr. Doug?
Yeah, that's a male.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Those
too.
Big fat faces.
Big fat pumpkin face.
Yeah.
And he's marked his territory. He's kind of like, okay, I like this place. There's places for me to hang out. And,
yeah.
And now, especially if somebody's feeding him. But he's, my other question is, I mean, if I did want to keep him, a feral male like that, I mean, even if he was fixed, wouldn't he spray inside? He wouldn't want to be an indoor cat at this point, would he?
Well, he probably never would want to be an indoor cat, but some of them do. And at least, you know, the neutering will temper that a little bit, but it may not make it go away because he's already done that for a long time. So
right.
Well, and let me pop in because I'm a feline behavior therapist.
Okay,
Carol. So I deal with this kind of stuff. And I would tell you that just because he sprays outside doesn't mean he would spray inside if you know how to communicate with him and if he's been neutered. If he hasn't been neutered, He'll probably spray hose everything. But right. So the if you really wanted to adopt him and have him become an indoor, outdoor, or an indoor only, the first step would be neutering. Now, Doug, I don't know if this is what I've always heard and what I've seen, like especially with dogs, is that when they're neutered, that the hormones and whatever the changes can take place very quickly over a month's period of time, or it can be slowly up to a year. Now,
They're not fertile anymore, usually after 30 days or so.
But I mean the effects of behavior and stuff.
Yeah, that can take a whole year. Yeah.
Is that true?
Totally true.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'd want to get on him and get him neutered right away. But then just know that he could learn not to spray in your house, Carol. And if you decide, I can help you with that, either on or off the air when we get to that point. But the other thing I'll tell you when you say, well, he's a feral cat, he may never want to live indoors. I have a great little story to tell you that let you know that that's not always the case. When I was out at my farm, I adopted a feral female cat called Mohaka, and she was truly feral. It took me so long to even get her to come in the house. I couldn't handle her, couldn't tell, you know, and all that sort of stuff. And she'd run in and out, and she was probably, once she got used to me and became part of the family, she was like 95% outside, 5% inside. Well, then my first groups of Abyssinians came along, and I decided they couldn't be indoor-outdoor models because they'd get munched in no time. They'd be lunch for somebody else. So I built a cat run attached to the house where they'd go through a cat door and then had a big outdoor cat run. Well, I spent lots of time teaching the Abyssinians how to use the cat door and all of that and use the flap. And I didn't even tell Mohaka about the cat run, didn't even show her the cat door. And she was never in the house anyway because I thought she'd never use it. Well, then all of a sudden, after the cat run had been in for a while, I started realizing I didn't know where Mohaka was and I couldn't find her. And she seemed to be missing all the time. And then all of a sudden one day, I realized she was out in the cat run, lounging. Well, you know, I also, you know, teach interspecies telepathic and empathetic communication. And so I asked her, I said, what's up? I didn't think you'd want to use the cat. Why are you using the cat run all the time? She said, because it's safe. You don't realize when I'm outside, I can't really sleep. I always have to be alert for predators.
Right.
And they come from the air and the ground and all over. She said, I can go in the cat run, flake out, and I don't have to worry about it. So she became 75% in the cat run and, you know, 10% in the house and, you know, 5, maybe 10% outside checking things out. But she spent the majority of her time in the cat run. And then when I moved to the city, I gave her a choice of living with friends of mine in the country or moving with us to the city and being indoor only. And she wanted to go to the city. She became an indoor only cat. So it can happen.
Yeah.
You know, but the first step would be to neuter that boy.
Well, now with his behavior, the fact that he like hangs out on the front porch, does that sound to you like he was somebody's cat before? He wasn't born out in the wild.
Well, he might have been, but he has those big jowls, so he's probably
huge. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it would indicate that he definitely has an interest, and you know, he may be tired of being the big tomboy and all of that, and he's found someone that's feeding him in a home, and he might be wanting to come in. So you never know; it might work out beautifully,
especially if he's younger. You know,
some ferals can never be tamed and just aren't ready yet. I'm convinced it relates to how many lifetimes they've lived.
Right.
I think in my personal philosophy, because I believe we live millions and millions of lifetimes and work our way through the species, and I think the last. When souls are ready to move into human form from animal, that one of the last stages is they become feral cats and then domestic cats. And that's how they get used to being with humans before they become human. Feral, really, really feral cats, it's usually their first domestic type lifetime. But if they do a number of feral cat lifetimes, some that have done it for a while, then they're more interested in integrating into the home. So he may be one of those models.
Okay.
The bottom line is it might work really well. So
yeah.
I would think positive, but the first thing would be to neuter him as soon as possible. And that's what you'll have to do. And that shouldn't cost you anything if you call, you know, Feral Cat Spay and Neuter Project and work through them. And you can eventually get everybody taken care of.
Okay.
And then we can at another time, if I do a behavior training and healing Sunday, that would be the day to call in and we can talk about the behavior and how to integrate him, or I can work with you off the air.
Oh, cool. Okay.
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 All right. Thanks for calling Animal World. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, Charlotte, hold on to your line because we got to take care of advertisers and sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to Fall City and talk to Charlotte. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703. Or check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage on Facebook.
A healthy immune system helps stave off colds and flu, as well as more critical diseases such as cancer and autoimmunity. Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Dr. Mitchell Gaynor returns to share what you need to know to build a strong immune system. We'll also hear from Andrew Moore about the folklore and science, the culture and horticulture of pawpaw, and how this uniquely American fruit, used for generations to treat ailments from cold sores to head lice, is now being studied for its cancer-fighting properties. Join us every Monday at noon right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Attention pet lovers. We all want the best for our pets, and that includes quality of life, longevity, and overall well-being. Raymakers Nutrition has developed a line of patented products that have been shown to dramatically improve immune function, improve response to vaccines by over 400%, and help strengthen the systems in the body that fight cancer cells. Introducing Veterinary Immune Tabs. These chewable tabs are safe for dogs and cats. Find out more about how Veterinary Immune Tabs can improve your pet's longevity and state of wellness. Contact Dr. Bill Burlingame at BillBurlingameDVM@gmail.com or call 425-903-1919.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Good news, Belgium. We're streamed worldwide at 1150kknw.com. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World now, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. It's Vet Sunday, and in the house, Dr. Doug, you're out, our favorite holistic alternative animal doc, and you can find him at the All Animal Alternative Medicine Clinic in Marysville. Website is Holistic Animal Doc, and that's holistic with an H, animaldoc.com. And and phone number if you'd like is 360-653-8171. And by the way, that means we have open phone lines, and Dr. Doug treats pretty much anything in an animal suit. You could have questions about dogs, cats, horses, rabbits, pigs, pocket pets, exotics, reptiles, fish, wildlife, you name it, he can talk about it. So let's go out to Fall City and see what's happening in Charlotte's world. Good morning, Charlotte. Welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Doug Earout.
Yeah, I would like to suggest for that gal who's going to have free-range mousers.
Oh, yeah, Cindy and Sultan.
yeah, that she consider getting at least one rabies vaccine on him.
Yeah.
Rabies is uncommon, but the major source of rabies in this part of the world is in bats.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Would you agree with that, Dr. Dagg?
Yeah, that's the majority of it is in bats, yes.
Yeah, so if the free-range cat got a bat, that could be a problem. In fact, there was a llama in Redmond that turned up with rabies a few years ago.
Really? Hmm. Well, I tend to agree with you, Charlotte. I would also give a rabies vaccine, especially to, you know, my dogs or cats, you know, and indoor-outdoor models. But I would only do one because I wouldn't repeat them.
Oh no!
Every
no,
3 years, unless there's a legal reason that you have to.
Yeah, but
if you're going to Canada or something, you know, and need to get across the border. And Dr. Doug said, did you say the rabies challenge test has shown the vaccines work for 10 years or last for 10 years?
Yes, 10.
Yeah. But
I have to tell people what the government tells me to say.
Yeah. Right.
That's where my license comes in. So my own personal beliefs and my medical beliefs don't have anything to do with it. I'm supposed to tell you every 3 years. So.
Yeah.
Well, because that's the law.
That's the law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, you know, there isn't anybody necessarily out there checking to make sure you do that
unless you're in
Seattle.
Like
you've got to travel or you're going up to Canada, crossing the border.
Going to a boarding kennel. Sometimes you have to do it if you go get your dog groomed at certain stores and places like that because they're pushing the vaccine. So
yeah. But if you find a dead bat, for instance,
mm-hmm.
Or find a bat that's flying around during the day, you can't call public health and ask them to do a study on it. They tell you that if your cat got into it, sacrifice the cat and study that.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly. So, but if you have an obviously injured bat, you should always give me a call or the Wildlife Care Center because we work on bats all the time. So.
Oh yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Every so often there's a rabies one, but it's most of the time it's, you know, they got caught at the wrong place at the wrong time, like everybody else. And.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I have a bat story too. When I was probably in junior high. Living in the city. And my mother, of course, shared my love of animals and all of that. My father was allergic and, you know, was only putting it up with the animals because he had to. And so we kind of knew what, you know, not to mess with Dad sometimes. But one of my cats caught a bat out in the backyard. And it wasn't able to fly off. And so... my mom and I were getting ready to go out and rescue the bat, and my father forbid us from going out and messing with this bat.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, my mom and I behaved like really, of course, well-behaved wife and child, and we waited for Dad to go to bed. Mm-hmm. Once he was asleep, out we went with a flashlight, and we collected the bat, and this was... Again, this had to be back probably in the early 70s, I would imagine, when this happened. So there wasn't a lot of talk about rabies and that. So it wasn't even on the radar, you know, back then. But so we collected a little bat and I made a little bat bed in a shoebox. And I kept the shoebox and the bat stuff on my balcony. And I don't know, mama's trick was always to, you know, rehab it with a little bit of whiskey or something and then sugar water. And I can't remember what else we did with this bat, but we, of course, my father never knew that we got the bat until he heard me tell the story on Animal World, I think on the radio sometime. But at any rate, the bat recovered just fine and eventually flew off and was wonderful. And my cat or me and none of us died of rabies or got rabies. So I think it was fine. But
because he was stunned by the cat.
Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, it was just stunned.
He didn't have rabies.
Right. Didn't have rabies. Just, you know, the cat was a good huntress and stunned the bat. And but he recovered fine and all was well. So they really are kind of cute.
They're cute as the dickens.
Yeah.
They don't get the furious kind of rabies like the ones that go around biting people usually.
Oh, really?
They get kind of dumb and stuporous and fall down on the ground, or you find them in odd places where they probably ought not to be. You know, they're not.
Okay.
They've lost their fear, or however their awareness. And sometimes those bats are just injured too, or they're babies, or they're hungry.
And what about every once in a while you hear about people finding bats inside their house?
Yeah, they get in there because they've tried to get in where it's warm, you know, during the day, and then they find another hole and they get into the house instead of go outside. So it's not their fault. They're confused.
Oh, okay.
And they're not going after you either. When they seem like they dive bomb you, but they're not dive bombing you at all, because if you look at how a plane takes off of an aircraft carrier, they always come out, shoot off to the edge, and then they dive down towards the ocean before they get their loft. That's normal in flight, you know, so they're diving down so they can get flight again in the house, and the house is odd shaped and small, and they look like they're coming right for me. They're going to get my hair.
Well, and they kind of have like radar and stuff.
Total
too,
radar.
Yeah. That's how they get the bugs in the air and stuff.
Yeah,
I have fun out in my backyard. I have a big spotlight that lights up above my fountain, and I can go out night after dark and watch the bats fly through the spotlight, you know, to catch the bugs. And it's amazing how good they are.
They're smart.
Yeah.
The light screws up their vision, but it's usually by hearing anyway.
So, Charlotte, anything else on your list?
No, I just wanted to make that point because most bats are not going to be a problem, but...
Yeah, well, I think it's a wise choice, and we'll pass it on to Cindy that, you know, like Dr. Doug, we did talk about the rabies, and he said after 6 months they could each have a rabies vaccine.
Yeah,
so
right.
So that's a good idea if they're going to be out hunting.
Yeah, rabies is not fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. So I agree with you. Thanks for the great advice, Charlotte, and thanks for calling Animal World. Bye-bye. All right, that means we've got open phone lines for you folks, and local number 425-373-5527. Toll free is 1-888-298-5569. You can shoot us an email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And that brings up several subjects, one of which... came up earlier with, you know, different kinds of animals, because you treat all kinds of animals. And in one of our ads with the Nupro supplements, they have great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. And you mentioned that when you heard that, you said, boy, that's another kind of animal that people do everything wrong with.
Yes.
So what's the deal with ferrets?
That's a long 3-hour history lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, give us a couple minutes here. And
okay. My short lesson is ferrets came from Europe originally, the kind that we keep for pets.
Yeah.
They're much larger in Europe. They're pretty much treated like the indoor-outdoor kitty. You know, they clean up, they kill things and eat things, you know, like the cat would do here. That's their normal job, but we take them into the house and we protect them, and they always get in trouble and they disappear, and so, you know, you got to watch them a lot. But if you compare our ferret to their ferret, you know, we have this really small, undersized animal that's been because of breeding for a long time.
You know?
Like guinea pigs, you know, you look at your normal size guinea pig, 1 or 2 pounds, you know, they're 5 pounds down south, you know, in the wild, so... It's just all about captivity over a really long period of time. And you get a ferret now from a ferret farm. You don't hardly get anybody else that has ferrets except for the ferret farm. They send them to the pet stores, and they're already neutered, that early neutering thing, when they're 6 weeks old or less.
Wow.
And they're already vaccinated, and they're already demusked, which, you know, they do have these nasty scent glands. And so... they do that when they're neutered at the same time. They put a little drop of acid in each side, and it, you know, festers up, and then it goes away before it ever forms. But
wow.
And the ferret food is just absolutely the wrong thing to feed a ferret. They should be fed like a cat, you know, lots of raw food. But ferrets don't even know what real food is. I mean, they really, really, really get stuck on their... picked on their dry food only, and they won't try anything else. So when you need to do anything or add anything, it's hard to do because they're just so creatures of habit. And they have a shorter lifespan. Used to be 9 or 10 years or so, and there would be a lot of ferrets that would make it to 9 or 10 years. And now, geez, they get sick at 4 or 5 at or really? Even less. And oh, yeah,
that sounds directly attributable
totally
to
genetics,
diet.
Yeah, and genetics, diet. Yeah. To me, it's, you know, the ferrets have been ruined in this country by the way we manage them.
That's such a shame. I'll often tell my hedgehog story. You know, at this time where this was back in the 80s, I think, and the designer pet of the day were like little hedgehogs, and mm-hmm. and they still are popular. But I was going to have been requested that we do a show on Animal World about, you know, hedgehogs and what they're about and how to have them and all of that. So I started making plans to do the show and was invited by a father and daughter hedgehog breeding team to come visit their home and meet their hedgehogs and learn about them. And so both myself and you know, my call screener at the time, Sandy, mm-hmm. We went out there, and I went into the living room with the father and some hedgehogs, and she went into the other room with the daughter and hedgehogs. And so we didn't know what each other experienced, and we compared notes afterwards. Well, you know, most animals really, really like me. But I started handling these hedgehogs, just putting in my hand, and all of a sudden they're peeing on me, they're pooping on me, they start to bite me. And so I just said, "Whoa, what is going on here, little hedgehogs? What is it you want to tell me?" And that message was immediate and very definitive. "Martha, we don't even want to be in your country. Yeah. Let alone your homes. We are African, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter that we've been bred here. Our genetics are African, and we don't do well in this hemisphere. So please don't encourage people. Tell our story, but don't encourage people to have hedgehogs." So yeah. I had to go back on the air. And turns out when I got out of the house, Sandy had exactly the same experience with the hedgehogs she met in another room. So we went back on the air, said, "We're not doing the show. This is what the hedgehog said," yada, yada, yada. So I have since that time been very aware of what's going on consciousness-wise, energetically, with more of the exotic or pocket pet type population and how they feel about it. 'Cause I know how the hedgehogs feel. And had similar messages. We are going to wrap up this second hour of Animal World and then fire up hour number two. And, of course, we will have open phone lines throughout the next hour for any of your animal medical care questions. But the next place we're going segues very nicely to what we're talking about, because we're going to be talking about the Monroe Fair.
Yeah.
And sugar gliders. What do sugar gliders have to do with the Monroe Fair? Well, you'll find out when we continue and Doug and I tell you our stories and what we encountered at the fair, how we feel about that. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues. It's Vet Sunday. Dr. Doug Eirot's in the house right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.